I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture this morning is Exodus 32, 1 through 14. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us, who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it into a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord." They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to revel. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people who you brought up out of the land of Egypt have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way I have commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and of you I will make a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord, his God, and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Connie. Appreciate the reading. Is it not human nature to create gods? Do we not do that in our everyday lives? Aren't there people who see money as a god? That's what they're devoted to? Could be a sport, could be anything, but it seems that as human beings, we tend to create our own gods. And the question is, why? And I think perhaps this scripture gives us a pretty good reason as to why we create our own gods. After all, why is it that the Israelites went to Aaron to create a god? Because they wanted something they could see, something they could touch. That's why. And oftentimes when we can't see or touch God, we decide we'll just make one that we can hold that money. There's all kinds of things that we can get and we can turn it into a god because it's something we can see and feel and say, "This is it. I know it's here." But see, what happens here is we've got this great story about the people of Israel who have been led out of Egypt, brought out of servitude, given a new chance in life by God, and then say, "Oh, Moses isn't here, so let's create a god." Makes you wonder if they saw Moses as their god. After all, Moses led them out. And since we can't see Moses and we don't even know if he's coming back, we'll make a golden calf. And Aaron does it. Now, folks, I want you to think about this. I don't know how often you've read your scripture, But Aaron ends up being the one chosen to head the priestly group by God. The very man who made a golden calf and said, here, I'll make that for you because we don't know if Moses is coming back. So if you ever wonder if God is a forgiving God, read this story. It's pretty amazing. But see, the thing is if we have a God that we can see, we don't need faith. Where's the faith in something you can see? That's why we have faith. To believe that God is here, God is watching us, God will help us, that's faith. And what did Jesus say we need? Faith. How did people get healed? Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made it so. No faith in having a golden calf. Why is it that they so easily gave up their belief? It is the kind of faith which would lead a man to take a bottle of aspirin. Has a headache, he looks at the bottle, and he says, okay, this is for headaches. It will get rid of my headache. This is how many milligrams it is. This is good stuff. Yes, it's everything I need for a headache. But I'm not going to take it. That's dead faith. I believe that it's aspirin. I believe that it's going to help me, but I'm not going to use it. I believe God is here. I believe God is filling me with the Holy Spirit, but I'm not going to call upon God. I'm going to create a golden calf. All too often, we will tell our children that we're a people of faith. All too often, we find ourselves in situations in life that are tearing us apart, and our children never see us pray. And for many, they never see their parents go to church. Mom, Dad, do you believe? Yes, I believe. I'm a Christian. Why have we never gone to church? Why have I never seen you pray? I've never even seen you pick up the Bible and read it. Well, you know, my mom and dad raised me a Christian. That's why. Where is your faith? Well, my mom and dad said, no, where is your faith? See, God is angry. God says to Moses, where is their faith? I brought them out of Egypt. They talked to me in a cloud. They saw me put fire between them and the Egyptians. They saw the parting of the sea. Where's their faith? Aren't we a little like that? Don't we find ourselves not really emulating what we should as a person of faith? When things get tough, all too often, we're looking for that golden calf. Have you ever known people who come to church when things are bad? Oh my gosh, I've lost my home, I lost my job, I better go to church. Because if I go to church, God will make it better. So you go to church and eventually you get a job, you get a house, and you stop coming because everything's good now. I don't need you, Lord. See you later. Things are good. I have my golden calf. Right? Isn't that how it works? We've had people in this congregation that have gone through tough times and seen people that come in that are having tough times. You're still here. They're gone. They came just long enough to get what they needed, and then they're gone. In a way, that's our Israelite friends in this scripture. He got us out of Egypt. He led us through the sea. He did all these wonderful things. Bye. Things are good. I don't need you anymore. Is that how it works? God led them out. God helped them. And who abandoned whom? Wasn't God abandoning them? At what times in your life have you abandoned God because you lost faith? Because you couldn't see Him? because it wasn't convenient or because things were going so well you just didn't feel that there was a place for God. Who needs God? Things are going great. How do you think things got that way? In 1980, some of you may know this, in 1980, Alvin Verrett in New Roads, Louisiana, owned and operated the nation's first drive-in mortuary. For the convenience of time-pressed mourners, the deceased was displayed before a 5x7 picture window. Friends and relatives could drive up to the window and look in and pay their last respects. Said Mr. Verrett, "We wanted something for people who didn't have time to dress." Really? Convenience. Convenience. Is God a convenience for you? Think about that. Do I go to God when it's convenient to go to God, but all other times I don't really need Him? Truth is, at times, having faith can hurt. We don't always see what God is doing in our lives, but He's doing something. It's not that He's not, it's that we can't see it. We couldn't see, the Israelites said, Moses up there on that mountain getting the Ten Commandments. And since we couldn't see it, we decided to do something we could see, a golden calf. I'm going to tell you a story about a 2-year-old boy. His name is David. At 2 years old, they discovered that David had leukemia. So his mother, Deborah, took him to the Massachusetts General Hospital where there was a doctor by the name of Dr. John Truman who specialized in treating children with cancer and other diseases. The news wasn't good. The doctor told Deborah he has a 50-50 chance. From the age of 2, David would be taken to the hospital, go in and get treatments. All kinds of treatments, some experimental, some not. He got drugs. He got therapy. It was very difficult for this 2-year-old, not to mention his mother. Well, David became 3. And the doctor said, we have to do a spinal tap. Now, I don't know how many of you know about a spinal tap, but it's painful for adults. This is a 3-year-old boy. And they're going to do a spinal tap. The mom tells David, I know this is going to be painful. I'm letting you know. But just know that Dr. Truman is doing it because he loves you and he wants to take care of you. So you're going to have pain, but it's a pain for healing. It took 3 nurses to hold David down while they stuck that needle in, screaming and crying, tears everywhere. And when it was done, that little boy looked at Dr. Truman and said, Dr. Truman, thank you for my hurting. Israelites, say thank you, God, for my hurting. Where have we said that in bad times? Thank you, God, for my hurting. Because sometimes you have to hurt to get better. Isn't that right? Some of us in this sanctuary have had some pretty traumatic times and gone through some pretty traumatic things. What some might even call drastic, and it was painful, but we got better. The Israelites never said thank you. They simply said, we can't see Moses. We don't know where God is. Build us a golden calf. And Aaron says, sure, bring me everything you have. I'll fix it up for you. There are a few things in life that aren't painful. Even growing pains. Remember those? God never promised us a pain-free life, ever. If we go through the scripture from beginning to end, folks, we see pain. You can't go through scripture, Old or New Testament, and not see pain. Look at what happened to our Lord and Savior. Look at what happened to the disciples. Look at what happened to the prophets of the Old Testament. There's pain all through it. God never promised us that. We're going to find lots of pain in life. But we'll also see that during that time, God is with us. God is holding our hand. God is there to support us and to uplift us. There is no golden calf, no idols, no Ra or Isis, just God. Only God is faithful. Only God is ever present. We can create all the gods we want, but we'll never be able to create a God that can compare to our God. Not going to happen. We can be a stiff-necked people. Anyone here want to say they can't be? You don't have to hold up your hand. Are we quicker to find fault than we are to count our blessings? Are we a people who say, let me tell you everything that's wrong about the church and never say what's right? Let me tell you what's wrong with my job, but never what's right? Let me tell you what's wrong with my spouse, but never what's right? Before we are too harsh in judging the scribes and the Pharisees as we read Scripture, we probably ought to stop and look at ourselves. All too many Christians today go to church to find fault, to gossip, or to criticize. Warren Wiersbe, in his book Angry People, wrote, "An incident in the life of Joseph Parker, the great British preacher, illustrates this tragic truth. He was preaching at the City Temple in London. After the service, one of the listeners came up to him and said, 'Dr. Parker, you made a grammatical error in your sermon.' He then proceeded to point out the error to the pastor. Joseph Parker looked at the man and said, 'And what else did you get out of my message?' And he went silent. Because he was so busy looking for mistakes, he never heard the message. Fault finders all too often find themselves able to point out every mistake, but they can't point out what the real message is. Let me tell you what's wrong with God and what God's done wrong, but I don't tell you all the great things God has blessed me with. In our Christian lives, do we look for what is good, or are we looking for mistakes? Are we watching people make mistakes and not forgiving and holding grudges? Or are we living out the love of Jesus Christ? I think we can safely say the Israelites were a fault-finding people. There is proof throughout Scripture. Every covenant that was ever broken was broken by the Israelites, not God. Every one of them. Yet the New Testament, and let me say that again, the New Testament tells us we are to be a new creation. We are not to be like the people in ancient times. We're not supposed to be like the Israelites and be fault-finding. We're a new creation in Jesus Christ. Are you? And if we are not, the question remains, why? Did we not truly believe when we said that we did and we were baptized? Is it the case that we are by nature an ungrateful people? Jesus brought a message of hope, as did Moses. The people turned on Moses as they did Jesus. Think about it. Some things never change. The Israelites wanted a God they could see, a golden calf. Oddly, the people of Jesus' time preferred a God they could not see. Here's Jesus, Son of God. Oh, I prefer the one I can't see. Nail him to a cross. seems like God can't get it right. When he doesn't come in the flesh, people complain because they can't see him. When he comes in the flesh, they complain because they don't believe it. Why would God do that? If he doesn't reveal himself in the flesh, do we believe? And now that he has revealed himself in the flesh, do we believe? What I see is a God who is always trying to please us. God says, what is it you want? You built golden calves. You got all these idols. Is that what you want? Something you can see? Here, I'll walk the earth. I don't believe it. They say, go on. Nail him to the cross. Can money, power, control, assets, or anything else replace our God? Have we allowed any of those things to replace our God? For those who choose to create their own God, let me assure you, you will find it lacking. Greatly lacking. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Moses is a God of hope. There is no hope anywhere else. It is our God. So as we go forth this day, let's ask ourselves, what little gods are we creating every day to hold us over? Because I can't see the great God I am. Let us be a people of faith. Believe that God is here. Believe that God is in you. Believe that God will meet your needs. That's what we're lacking. Not visibility. Faith. Let us pray. Loving and compassionate God, we stand before you knowing that oftentimes we do create little gods around us. We lose our faith and we lose our way. We ask that you energize us, that you reinvigorate us, that you help us and fill us with your Spirit, that we may know you are with us, that you are in our hearts and minds, and that although we may abandon you, you never abandon us, and we give you thanks and praise. Be with us and guide us, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.